Gidano Shalisto for the Kuti Adam or Kuti Cholev. The Kuti Adam you have to remove because the dam is not going to come out Aydei Melechim. But the dam in the capillary said that will come out Aydei Melechim. Whatever doesn't come out is considered Moel Abazah. So this Riyesh has a tshuva where he discusses eating a piece of raw liver. So he says he holds that it's Heta Gom. He doesn't understand what the Shaila is. He's concerned there's no Shaila at all. So yesterday I started to say, maybe it is a question. According to the way the Rabbi Natam is quoted as saying that COVID is Kulo Dam, we treat it as if there's no Basar at all. The whole thing is Kulo Dam. And the Maram Shif had a svar to say that if you cooked liver with milk, it can't be Basar B'chol of the rice, it's Kulo Dam. Dam is not B'chol Basar, if there is no Basar there at all. So it could be that the heter that we usually assume on the Taisus on Yudal and Amin Aleph, the dam ivarm shalob pirish is mutter, because I consider it the moel habasa. But if you're going to declare that the kovet is kula dam, so how can you say that it's moel habasa? It isn't. There's no basa there. It's not the moel habasa. The question. He argues that the Rabbeinu Tam said that kovet is more kal than the rest of the flesh in the behemoth. Rabbeinu Tam thought that kovet, the dam evarim of kovet is mutter, because the rice increases, the alcohol from the base lists off midikotani, dam atchol, dam alei, dam akloiz, dam evarim, and it doesn't mention dam akovet together with all the others. Is mashma dam akovet is mutter min atorah, and then the whole issa is only with the rabbanon. So he tiny, since it's more kal, so therefore even though with the rabbanon they acid it, so if to eat other raw flesh is mutter, so to eat raw liver is zicha mutter. One can argue the point and say it's not so, that to eat raw liver, you can't declare the dam as moel abasa if you say you consider it as if kulei dam. There is no basa, so how can you say it's moel abasa? I don't know, it's not so. He doesn't quote any mar mekayim, so he just says, a long arich just keeps on repeating, that he thinks that it's heter goma. Yesterday we mentioned, la halacha, we don't accept that Rabbeinu Tam. We hold faket from the Rabbeinu Tam. We hold that the kovet is more chomer than basa, and that was what Tosfos asks on Kuf Yud Aleph and Med Aleph. And the second half of the Tosfos is dam deraisa. So they ask how did all the same thing. The second half of the Tosfos kab de ilavi bistra. So he said pirush Rabbeinu Tam lo nichol kulei hab. So the whole Gemara switches around. Rabbeinu Tam claims that the sugya begins with the assumption that kovet is the dam is mutam and hatar, and war has a svar to say that it's even mutam and the rabbanon. They never made it, and he said the rabbanon even. Dam hakovet is het hagomer. Then the Gemara all of a sudden comes out lachomer, that it's more chomer than others. How do we assume the maskana that if you broil liver, the tzliya will remove the dam? If you salt the liver, the salting, like you salt flesh, you salt liver, so the salting will not remove the dam. So we assume that the liver is more harmer than the others. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, where did it switch all of a sudden in the middle of the sugya? That's what the Tosfos asks. Where did it switch? But Allah Halamai said, that's what we assume. That kovet is more harmer than the rest of the dam or yivarim. And you need dafke tzliya, and malicha will not do the trick. Tzliya accomplishes more as far as removing the dam than malicha does. Yeriday, and that's Simon Samachtez. So they have this theme repeated several times, that Tzliya accomplishes to remove the dam, does a better job than Malicha does. And they give you a few nafkaminas. So one of the additional, one nafkamina is by Kovet, that Malicha doesn't help and Tzliya does help. Then they have another nafkamina. Let's say you have an animal that got clapped while it was alive. It bumped into something and it has a black and blue mark. Black and blue mark means that it's Nitzra Hadam over there. So if normal Dama Ivarim Shalom Pirish, the normal blood in the capillary, so if you salt the flesh, you assume that you will succeed in removing all of the Dam. All the Dam that's us, fine. Whatever remains behind is Moel Abasa. But if it's Nitzra Hadam, Machmas Mako, then we assume that Aydei Melech will not accomplish to remove that Dam. So you're not allowed to eat that Aydei Melech, but Aydei Tzliya, it is okay. Tzliya, we assume, will do a better job of removing all of the dam. Then they have more nafkamenis with dina. The Shulchan Aruch based on that assumption that Tzliya does a better job of removing the dam than Malicha does. What's the definition of Malicha with salt? What salts? On the days of the Tanoim, they used to use salt from the ocean. You have a Mishnah Mikvois about that. The assumption is that all the salt was from the ocean water. And today, that's one source of salt, but usually the source of salt is different. The chemical composition of the salt from the ocean is slightly different from the chemical composition of the salt that they mine in a salt mine. So that's what the previous Satmar Rebbe raised an issue that maybe we don't know exactly why salt does the trick. So maybe the salt that we use today is not acceptable. That was a question that he raised. Then there was a famous dispute, the Pischei Tshuva has this, and other Achrayim have a discussion about this. Darkei Tshuva has a lot about it. Can you salt the meat with sugar? Do you have to salt the meat after with salt, or can you use sugar? So one of the Gdolim claimed, the son-in-law of the Nesivas claimed in the name of his father-in-law, he lived in Sachachov, and the Sachachov Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, knew him. Avnei Nezer was a young man, and he was an old man, and they were contemporaries. So he said, say over all kinds of things in the name of his father-in-law, in the name of the Nesivas. Nesivas was a Misnagin, and the son-in-law was a Chassid. Son-in-law delivered a hesped when the Chidush Arim passed away, and he printed that hesped. And then at the end of the hesped, so he has a few Chidushim on Hilchas Avelus. The end of Yeridei has Hilchas Avelus, Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. So he claims in the name of his father-in-law that the Nesiva said that what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that a Kohen should be careful not to be mitame. So he claimed that's only, there are three kinds of ohel. There's one kind of ohel if I'm leaning over the mace, I'm mahel over the mace. The other ohel is I'm sitting over here and they're mahel, they carry the mace on top of me. And the third ohel is ohel hamshach. If I'm over here and the mace is over there, and there's one ohel that goes both over me and over the mace. That's an extended ohel that extends both over me. In the mace, that's called oil hamshach. So he claims in the name of the Nesivas that the Iker oil is when you're mahil on the mace and the mace is mahil on you. Oil hamshach is that it's only a secondary din of oil. And when it says that you should be careful not to be metamil mace akum ba'ohel, Kohanim should be careful, that only goes if you're mahil on the mace. But oil hamshach, that's okay. There were communities in Europe where they had this practice. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it. That's where he came from. That was the practice. And that's what he used to tell Kohan. They only have to be careful about being Mahal Anameis. And Olam Shocha is okay. But many Gedolim wrote in their Svarim that they don't agree with this. And they find it hard to believe that the Nesiva said it. They think that the son-in-law must have misunderstood. So here also the Avnei Nezer quotes in the name of the son-in-law of the Nesivas that he said in the name of his father-in-law that basically salt and sugar is the exact same thing, just has a slightly different flavor. So when you have a din of chumash al kol karbon chatakrid melach, you have to put salt on all the karbonis, you yotz if you put sugar also. Doesn't make a difference if you put sugar or salt, it's basically the same thing. So he thinks that the Nesivas could never have said that. He thinks it's ridiculous, and he doesn't believe that the Nesivas said it. Okay. So it's a question, how reliable the Maharuch, his name is Maharuch, I forgot it right, what, Hakoyin, the son-in-law of the Nesivas, his hesped on Chidush Arim, I think it's called Chidushe Maharoch. I forgot what his first name was. Something Hakoyin. Anyway, where did we get yesterday? Yeah, we got in the Gemara too. Loishna, okay. On the first wide line, on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay. Omar Shmuel Meshum Rab Chiya, Hashoev Mefrakto Shal Behem Kodem Shetet Zei Nafsha, Yishecht an animal, they Yishecht, he cut the Kana and the Vesha. And the Behem, you have to cut the Kana and the Vesha. And then, no, you either cut the Kana or you cut the Vesha. Either one or the other. The Behem, you have to Shecht both. But you don't cut the spine. So what if after shechting the karnaveshet, then he breaks the mefrekes? Hashoev mefrakto shel behem mekodem shetetzei nafsho. So that poses a problem. Hareza machbidas habasar. That prevents all of the blood from flowing out when you shecht an animal. So all the blood, most of the blood will come out. But if you break the spine somehow, that'll prevent the blood from much of the blood from flowing out. So the meat is going to be heavier than normal because it has an awful lot of blood in the capillaries. And if you sell it to someone else, v'gozolos habrios. If you're selling, let's say, 5 pounds of meat, so now the customer is going to get less meat. because it's going to be a smaller volume because it's machbidus abasa, because the blood didn't have a chance to go out, so you're only selling the 4.5 pounds of meat, and you're charging 5 pounds. You're charging for 5 pounds. So that's goizel asabrius and mavliya dam be'evar, because it causes the dam to remain in the evar. So the Gemara is not sure exactly what did he say. What did Shmuel say in the Emor Abchi? Boy, lahu, they're not sure. Hechi ko amar. What did he mean? Machbidus abasa begoizel asabrius mishun mavliya dam be'evar. The problem is gzeila. Well, if you're going to sell the meat to someone else by the weight, so then you're selling 4.5 pounds and charging for 5 pounds because the meat is heavier than normal. Holy, did they shop a dummy? But if I want to keep it for myself, there's no issue of isa v'heter. It's only an issue of dini mamnes that you're cheating the customers. Or dilma, maybe I should say l'didei nami asa. Maybe it's a problem of mavliya dam be'evarim. Not only is an isa of I know I'm charging too much to the customers. For me, it's also a problem because I'm eating dam. What does that mean? So Rashi writes, "Vishuvene." Rashi writes, "Taita yisuri kachoshim chada de goizel asabrias v'chada the mavliya." Rapia meant to say two things. Goizel asabrias is one problem. That's gzeila ben odin lachavero. And number two, v'chada the mavliya dam v'shuvene yoytze v'echol dam is going to be a problem for me as well. Yeah. What exactly does it mean, Mavli Adam and I'm eating Dam? So Rashi writes in the previous Rashi, Holiday, the Leklamem Shim Gzeila Sharlifishu Chayzavi de Melach. The Gemara says, I'll sort the meat and the Dam will come out, no problem. Oy Dilma, the Gemara says, Lididei Nami Yosef. So from Rashi it would appear that even salting the meat will not help. Rashi learns that was the Gemara suffix, so the Gemara says, Teku. So we would probably assume Teku is Lachumra. What do you do when you have a Teku? So we assume Teku di Isur Lachumra. And teku de raisa lechumra teku de rabbanu lekulam. This is a suffix on dam. It happens that it's dam she bishla, it's dam she mocha. The bottom line, this is only going to be an issue of the rabbanu because of dam she bishla de rabbanu, dam she mocha is the rabbanu, because maliach kiraseach. But mistama, we would be machmer because the ikar shayla of dam is an issue de raisa. So according to Rashi, it comes out if you are mechatech as. So we would be concerned that the dam is not yotze ayidei melicha. Probably means that you need tzliya. Then you would require tzliya, but tzliya would come out. Like if you have nitzra hadam, machmas maka bechai habehema. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that then tzliya is needed and melicha is not good. It's not according to Rashi over here, according to that tzad. Lididei nami yasi even ayidei melicha. It wouldn't help him. Stam if we do tzliya, we'll be good. The Rif has a different gears in the Gemara, which they printed on the side. You look in the Rif, that's what he has. Gears is a Rif or Roshi. Boilu ha'hoil v'ibla dam b'ivorim yishoyle mecham in eba umtza olo. That's the Gemara suffix. If you salt the flesh, of course the dam is going to come out. The Gemara never had a sword to say that salting it doesn't help. The only tzad the Gemara was mesupik is that Tosfos on Yudalim and Aleph assumed that it's mutal lechol raw meat. But umtza, you're permitted to eat raw meat, even though you have dam in it, because dam evarim shel pirush is mutter. We declare it as moel abasar. So now the Gemara has a suffix. What if you shover as hamefrekas kodesh shetetze nafsha? So you prevented the normal flow of dam. Normally, when you shecht an animal, an awful lot of dam comes out. And here, hardly any dam. A lot of dam is not going to go out. So maybe this is not called moel abasar. Maybe this is not normal. There's too much dam. Balua and the Evarim over here. So maybe I should declare over here that it's also lochla b'umtza. But once you're going to salt it, for sure it's mutter. So that's what we assume in Shulchan Aruch. We don't accept Rashi's pshat. According to Rashi, if you choyter chasami frekes, you have a teku, and we would go lechumer, teku, the isura, lechumer, we'll go lechumer. That salting wouldn't help you. We need dafke tzlid. And we don't pass like that in Shulchan Aruch. We pass in, of course, malicha is good. The only suffix in the Gemara was, maybe lechem emena b'umtza. Umtza means raw meat. Raw meat. You don't declare this moel abasa because there's too much dam over here. This topic of shoyver samifrekas was a big hot topic right before the Second World War. The Nazis started making gzeiros against shchita, and then they killed all the Jews. So when they started making the gzeiros, so they wanted to have one gezeira was because of Tzav Bali Chaim. They were so concerned about Tzav Bali Chaim. So they said they only permitted the Jews to shecht the animals if they'll stun the animal in advance. So the animal shouldn't feel the pain. So the all the rabbanim in Europe were discussing the topic whether stunning an animal with electric stunning does, and then you shech the behemah, does that render the animal a trefa, an avela, whatever. So this Sridi Yesh was very involved. He lived in Germany at that time, so he wrote a whole sefer which wasn't printed till after the whole war was all over, and he corresponded with all the rabbanim in Europe at the time. So that's one half of his chelak aleph of the sefer is about stunning the animals. Then the other half is about this, that the Nazi government said when you shech the oifus, you have to cut the mefrekes. When you have a knife that you're shechting with, you have to cut the mefrekes, also mishum tzar b'chaim. How'd they figure that one out? That helps tzar b'chaim means you hasten the death of the animal. If you break the mefrekes, so the animal will die faster, so the chicken won't have to suffer. So that's the second half of the chelak aleph of the Sridi Yesh, is about that. What's the story with Shviras HaMefrekes? So based on our Gemara, the way we assume like the Rif, so the whole issue only is Lechol Biumtza. But if you're going to salt it, so there's no problem. If you're going to salt it, the way we assume, not like Rashi, there isn't going to be a problem. That's the way we assume Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, but then on Chav Zayin Omed Aleph, beginning of the second Perek, when the Mishnah formulates the Din of Shchita, that by Behemah you have to shecht Ruva Kekula, you have to see Manim Kona and Veshet. That's how the second Perek begins. So Shecha Dechet Bo, if you shnayim b'mehem shchitosik shere, Ruva Shalachot Kamoyu, Ruva Kekulai, and you have to shecht b'yoyf Echot, either the Kona or the Veshet. That's a Machloikis in the Gemara. One opinion is Dafke the Veshet, and we paskin it's optional, either Kona or Veshet. And by Behemah you have to shecht both the Kona and the Veshet, Roiv of the Shnei Simon. So the Gemara says, some of this is learned out from Pesukim, some of this is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So the Gemara says, we learn out from the Pesuk, V'shochat, there's Ben HaBokar. Somehow the Gemara learns out the Gemara is Shchita Menat Zavor. I didn't know, Shia Drosa Chalada HaGroma V'Iko, Ola Chomish Shilcha Shchita. Gemara says, Gemara, it's a tradition, Torah Shabbat Peh, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Gemara says, "Hashchita menatzav anami gemara." The fact that you have to shecht by the neck. How do you know you have to shecht by the neck? Maybe you cut off a leg and you wait till the animal dies. So the Gemara says, "Also halacha l'moshe m'sina gemara." So the Gemara says, "Ekro l'mayu also," but the pasuk says something about the shochat as ben abokam by shechting korbanos. The pasuk that they're quoting happens to be talking about shechting korbanos. The shochat as ben abokar. So the Gemara says that pasuk tells me a different din that's not known through the halacha l'moshe m'sina. Minatzavar is halachal Moshe Messina, Gemara, and Shchiyah Drosso Chaladar Garva Vikir is also halachal Moshe Messina. The Pasuk tells me, Golo Lashabuye Gistero. You shouldn't shecht in such a way to make the animal into a Gistero. What's a Gistero? So, Gistero is an expression that, a term that the Gemara usually has if you have Shivre Klicheris. If you have a little coffee mug, an earthenware coffee mug, china plate, and it cracked, and you can still use it, say, cracked in such a way you can't use it to drink coffee anymore, but you can still use it to hold a tea bag or to put a little spoon in or something. So that's called the gistra, shivre klicheres, shivre klicheres, that still has some hishtamshes. So what does it mean over here? You should not shecht in such a way as to make the animal into a gistra. What is it referring to? It has nothing to do with the shivre klicheres. So Rashi has two pshat on Chav Zayin Amin Alam. So one pshat Rashi says is that the pasuk is teaching me the din of drasa. Drasa is one of the chomish el chashrita. Shia drasa chalad or agroma v'ika. Drasa means the following. When you take a sack and shal shchita and you shecht, so you have to fiddle back and forth. If you don't fiddle back and forth, you take a very sharp knife and you just push on the animal's neck and you push through like that. That's drasa. If you apply pressure without moving back and forth, you have to apply pressure. If you're not going to apply pressure, you can fiddle back and forth from today till next year. The animal, you're going to tickle the neck. So obviously you have to apply pressure, but you have to apply pressure simultaneously with cutting back and forth. So if you only do pressure, like Rashi says, the way people cut carrots. I don't know, I thought people cut carrots by fiddling back and forth also. So Rashi says people cut carrots, and they cut the vegetables by chopping, by applying pressure only, not fiddling back and forth. So if you shecht, ayidei drasa, that makes nevela. So that's the question. But the Gemara just said before, the Chomish Hilcha Shchita, Shia Drosa Chalada Grama Vikar is Gemara. It means that it's Halachal Moshe Messina, Torah Shabal Peh. So why was this singled out? That drusa singled out that you have a pasuk. Yishachad means to fiddle back and forth. So drusa is a pshutush on mikra and shia and chalod the hagrama v'iker. That's torah shabalpeh. Why was drusa singled out that should be torah shabechsav? The other torah shabalpeh is problematic. That's why Rashi has another pshat. The other pshat in Rashi is dolole shavu yigistra shalayachta kol amifrekas lishnayim. If you cut the spine, after you finish doing the shechita, cut the spine. That's what you're not supposed to do. So what does Rashi mean? You shouldn't cut the mifrekes lishnayim because what? Because imavli adam. Because imavli adam. That's our Gemara. So what does it got to do with shochat? So you'll solve your problem. So you'll broil it. Rashi holds that salting is no good. So anybody like shechita anymore? Salting is not good. So you broil it. So what does it got to do with shechita? Problematic in Rashi. So some Rishon did various. So that's what this Sri Yesh wrote a whole kuntras, and he has all the letters from all the rabbanim who were participating in this correspondence, because this was a shadow that was nageir to Jews from all over Germany. So it wasn't right that the local Orthodox rabbi should paskin whatever he wants on both of the issues, on the issue of the stunning the animal. Then he has on Chaticha Samifrek, because he has a letter from Rab Chaim Oizer, from the Ragat Shover, from the Minkacher, from a few others that I don't recognize, you like Tzirilson I heard of, some of the others, Zismanovich is also the Rosh Yeshiva from the Slabotka, and the others I never heard of. Okay, he has 10 different Rabbonim he has letters from. And the same thing on Stunning, he has 15 Rabbonim wrote from Kovne, from Ragat Shover, from Dinaburg, and so on, from all the places. So he could. First, he writes his kuntras where he collects all the material from the Rishonim and Achrayim, and then he prints all the letters from the Rabban. So some of the Rishonim say that Rashi only said it by Kochim, because the pasuk that they were quoting is Vayikra chapter Aleph Shachdas Ben Abaka. What's only there's a difference in Hilchos Shechitas Kochim and Hilchos Shechitas Chulin. So they say, yeah, because in Shechitas Kochim, one of the main purposes of the Shechita is to be separate the Chelek Gavoya from the Chelek. Separate the dam from the rest. The Radalar Avodas Adam, the Shechita Kabbalah Halacha Zrika, and the Gemara has a long brisa, a long Tosefta quoted in Masechta Sota, that in the Korban Mincha you have Dalar Avodas that are parallel to the Dalar Avodas Adam. So you have Kmitza is parallel to Shechita, then you have Kabbalah Sadam, you have Kiddush HaKoimitz. If they do the Kmitza, the Mincha has to be in a Klisharis to begin with. Before he begin to do the kmitzah, after he take the kohen does the kmitzah with his right hand, then he takes the comments in his hand. He has to throw it into another klisharis, into a bisul. That's parallel to kabbalah sadam, and the kmitzah is parallel to shechita. Then you have halacha. You take it to the mizbech, and then parallel to zrika sadam is haktoras hakomets. Why in the world is the kmitzah parallel to shechita? Shechita, you're killing the animal. Kmitzah, there is no live animal bichlal. The Rashi says, no, shechita, you're killing the animal, he kills for the Jews. Yeah, that's shechita's chulin. But shechita's kochim is an avoida, Rashi says, because you mevarech eluk avoya. The whole word of kemitza, that it's the first of the dalar avoida, says you're separating the dam that has to be toned zvik on the mizbech. He's separating the dam from the rest of the korban. So he's separating the koimetz from the rest of the mincha. The rest of the mincha, the shiori ha-mincha, is nechal to the kohanim, nechal to the zichrikun and the azara. And the koimetz is korban al-mizbech. That's how Rashi writes there in Soita. That's why these dalar avoidas by the mincha parallel to the dalar avoidas adam, because the purpose of the shechita as an avoida is not so much to kill the animal, but rather to be mevarech eluk avoya, to separate the dam that's going to be nizrak. So here the purpose of the kemitza is to separate the koimetz from the rest of the mincha. So you want to have, by kochim, when you do the shechita, if you're going to be shavuye kigisteron, according to this Pshat Rashi, lachtach kol ha-mifrekes, I mean, what's wrong with lachtach kol ha-mifrekes? So you're preventing a lot of dam from coming out. So the Kabbalah Sadam is going to be a shvacha Kabbalah Sadam. Lechatchila, you should really have a lot of dam when you do Kabbalah Sadam. You're not supposed to be zorek the dam on the mizbeach if it's dam shein on the shema yotzeba. You're not supposed to stand there for 15 minutes and collect the dam and keep on standing. Only when it's gushing forth with the dam shein on the shema yotzeba, that's kosher lezrik al gabi mizbeach. After it finishes and it changes colors and it's just dripping the rest of the dam, he's supposed to stop. You're not supposed to be in the kabbalah of that dam. But still, you should get as much dam shana shama yotzeba as possible. So if you're going to do the shavui kigistra to cut the mefrekes. So some rishonim interpret in Rashi, that's going to be a problem lachatchila. It won't be a problem b'diyevi. Will you have lachatchila deraisa? You have a lachatchila deraisa. Yeah, in kachim you have a lot of lachatchilas deraisa. In mitzvahs you have a lot of lachatchilas deraisa. This Rashi meant the lo l'shavuy gistro shaleach to kol mefrekes. He meant it by kachim. He didn't mean it by chulim. That's how some rishonim say. He never meant it by chulim. Other rishonim say beferish. The Mordechai quotes. Other rishonim say beferish. No. Rashi meant it by chulin, and Rashi meant it's even possible by the Eved. The animal is nevela. How can it be nevela? Shoyba kolam mefrekes is a shayla yimavliya the dam. So Rashi has a chiddush that even malicha doesn't help. You need davka tzliya, but it's going to be, how can it be also by the Eved mitam nevela? So the Rishonim gave a tzushtel, that's what he discussed, it's really actually discussed, he gave a tzushtel. Rashi shita. By Shia b'miyot basra, one of the chomish hilchos shechita is if you shech the animal, if you start shechting the animal, and then in the middle you pause to daven mincha, and then he continues to shech later. So if he has such a long pause in the middle, shor kedei ligmar skula, long enough to do the whole shechita from the beginning to the end, we have such a din by davening, by mikra megillah, we have such a din in the middle of mikra megillah, a person has a pause for an hour. And in an hour's time, you could have read the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end. Or a person in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei goes to the bathroom, and by the time he comes back to daven the rest of the Shemoneh Esrei, he's already paused 15 minutes. He could have davened the whole Shemoneh Esrei from the beginning to the end in the 15 minutes. Or the Mishnah Berurah has it by duchening. The Kohanim pause in the middle of the duchening, and then everybody says the tefillah that's printed in the Siddur. And the tefillah is so long, they could have said the whole Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, Yara Hashem Paravelecha, V'chonecha, Yisa Hashem Paravelecha, V'yosim L'chol Shalom. How many words are there in the whole Duchening? It's only three psukim. The Rabbanu Shalom, the tefillah that we say, is much longer than that, many more words than that. So it's an issue of Shok Delik Maskula, so I should say, L'chatchila for sure, you're not allowed to be Shok Delik Maskula. Whenever you do a mitzvah, it should be done in a fashion that the end should be mitzurif to the beginning. You shouldn't pause too long in between. Then b'di'evid, there's a whole discussion, how should we paskin b'di'evid? By t'kiyah shoifah, the Gemara has mikra megillah, what's din by davening, what's a din of shok de ligmar skul? So there are different opinions how you're supposed to paskin. Some are trying to paskin that by davening, we're machmeh. Davening is aymed lefnei Hashem. So if you shok de ligmar skul, that's mevatel the status of aymed lefnei Hashem. But by mikra megillah and the other mitzvahs, nish gefela, b'di'evid it would be good. Another Rishonim say it's not that the difference is davening versus all the other mitzvahs. The difference is whether was a shok de ligmas kula machmas aynes or stamazah. He paused in the middle for no good reason. So if he paused in the middle for no good reason, then it's not considered. Even though shok de ligmas kula, then it's not mevatel atzira. But if he paused in the middle because he wasn't able to daven, he wasn't able to duchen, something came up. He didn't feel well. And he was unable to continue to daven at that time. So that's considered worse. So then shok delik maskula machmasainis, that he wasn't able to do it then. Let's say the Hatzolah people in Middle Shemoneh Esrei, they got a Hatzolah call, so they run. And then they take care of it, and then 2 hours later they have to finish the Shemoneh Esrei. So they just go back to the beginning of Tikkun Shamas. They go back to the middle of Musaf, or they have to go back to the beginning. So they had to take care of the patient. They weren't able to daven at that time. So that's shok delik maskula machmasainis. So that for sure is they have to start all over again. They have to start from the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei.
So maybe one shouldn't say amen to Birkas Kohanim if they spent such a long time when they got in the middle.
No, so Shaila said Kohanim are saying a bracha levatola. Shekhar Shalom, Big Bishos Shalom. What are they saying a bracha? If they shok delik maskula. So the Mishnah Berurah raises the issue. So he says, if they sing a niggun, so the niggun blends in. So it's many shuls, most shuls, I think, they kind of do sing a niggun. So if they're singing a niggun, so that's considered as if that's part of the duchening, and it's not shok delik maskul. But if they don't, so he encourages everyone to sing a niggun. If the kind of don't sing a niggun, then you got a problem, at least l'chatchila, for sure there's a problem. But the eved, it's not a problem, because we paskin that the difference is machmasainis or shalom machmasainis. They could have said right away, Yevichonek. They could have said right away, Yishmarech. They want to be nice to the call. The call wants to say a whole tefillah. But if they don't want to be nice, they could have said Yishmarech right away. So that's Shalom Machmasayin. So there, but the Yevet for sure, Yeyetz.
That's not meaning that the Gemara to say that tefillah.
The Gemara in the end of Brachas says that if a person had Chaloimus and he's nervous about them, then he should say that when the Kohanim Duchen, it doesn't say that The Kohanim should pause in between Yerecha Hashem and Yishmerecha. The Mishnah Brura thinks that they should say the Tefillahs after the Yishmerecha. The Kohanim should say Yishmerecha, we should say Amen, and then they should pause. It's a Psapela, how did that solve the problem? Because you have to have Tziruf, not only Yerecha Hashem and Yishmerecha, the third word with the first two words. You have to have all the three Psukim have to be Mitzuref Yachad. So why does the Chavetz, why is the Mishnah Brura, why does the Bialocha think that solves the problem? He should have said, you should say the tefillah after the whole duchening is all over, after everything is all over, before they start. But not that the Kohanim should pause in the middle. I don't know why he thought that solves the problem. He says, whenever there's no clear-cut minig, so then he thinks you should introduce that the tefillah should be recited after Aniyas Amen. Some young mismachim from the yeshiva sometimes found new minyanim. They found new shuls. So some of them, when they found a new minyan, Mishnah Berurah says, when there's no clear-cut minig, so he recommends that you should do like this, and some of them introduce that. They follow the Mishnah Berurah. Whenever there's no clear-cut minig, you should introduce that they should say the tefillah for the Chaloimus after Aniyas Amen. That's what Rav Henkin used to print in Ezra's Torah Luach. So on the first Yontif, the calendar begins with Tishrei, so the first Yontif you have is Rosh Hashanah. So he writes that Yiduchen, and then he writes and he recommends that everyone should say the tefillah on the Chaloimus after they say Amen. That's not the common practice. So again, this Rashi is a question. This Rashi is a question. Nachamal. So what are the Chomish Hilcha Shechita Shehiya? What does it mean Shehiya? Shehiya is just like you have a din that lechatchila for sure, and sometimes even b'diyeved it's market. There's a din you shouldn't have too long a pause in the middle of Shema Nes, in the middle of Kriya Shema, in the middle of Birchas HaShachar. Is not, brachas don't have to be connected with each other. All the 15 Birchas HaShachar, each one stands by itself. But the Shema Nes is supposed to be Mitzuref Yachad, and the Duchening is supposed to be Mitzuref Yachad. And the Tkiyah Shofar is supposed to be Mitzuref Yachad. So the Gemara talks about Shok Delik Maskula by Duchening. Anything that's one unit is an issue. So Shechita is supposed to be one Hemshech. So there's going to be a problem of Shehi in the middle. So here, Shehi Apostle, this is one of the Chomishul Cheshchita. Shehi Apostle B'dievet. So the Rashi interprets in the Gemara. The Gemara has a suffix, Shoh B'miyot Simonim Mahu. So Rashi interprets in the Gemara, what does it mean, Shoh B'miyot Simonim? The Shoich had finished already Rav Kana and the Rav Eshet. Okay, there's a long thesis on Laman on the base. Discusses the Shitas Rashi. Thesis does not agree with Rashi. But Rashi and the Ramon, Shulchan Aruch, is machma like Rashi, that Shia B'miyot Basra passels the Shechita. Shia B'miyot Basra means the Shechita already finished Rav HaKona, the Rav HaVeshet, so he's finished. And if he stops where he is, so the Shechita is perfect. But then he pauses for 5 minutes, and in 5 minutes he could have Shechita the Behemoth from the beginning to the end. It doesn't take so long with a sharp knife. And after pausing 5 minutes, then he picks up the knife. If he Shechits Rav HaKona, Rav HaVeshet, and then he shoots the animal in the head, so fine. Or he bops the animal over the head. Shach talks about that. Bops the animal over the head so it should hasten the death, so it shouldn't suffer so long. Okay? So that's not a problem of Shia. But if he's going to take a knife and cut by the neck, it's going to be Shor, B'miyot Basra. So Rashi holds that was the Ibayi, the Leif Shita, and the Gemara, and therefore you have to go the Chumra. That's also a Shailak. And Tosis says that it's ridiculous. How can it be? He already finished the whole Shechita. How can the animal become an Avela L'mafreya? He already finished the Shechita by Shechting Rav Kana Rav Eshet. How can it become later on an Avela? So the Rashba and the Mishmeres Abayis, or the Torah Abayis, Rashba and the Torah Abayis, when he quotes Rashi's Pshat about Shia B'mil Tzimanim, he writes that Rashi's Shita was only Midirabbanim. Shia B'mil Basra Pasals Midirabbanim Egzera Otto Shia B'mil Kama. If you do Shia in the middle of the Shechita, that'll Pasal Menatera. So Rashi learned in the Gemara. The Gemara had an Ibaya where they machmer even in Miud Basra, not? And the Maskana were Choshesh that the Rabbanan had passed. The Beis Alevi has a whole simon in his Chubas where he is Mavarer that not everybody agrees that that's Pshat and Rashi. He discovered a Rabbeinu Yeruchim. He didn't discover. And Shulchan Aruch, they quote this Rabbeinu Yeruchim. And he probably didn't have a Rabbeinu Yeruchim. He was a poor man. So he quotes the Beis Yosef, he quotes this Rabbeinu Yeruchim. So the Beis Alevi is Medayik. Rabbeinu Yeruchim understood that Pshat and Rashi about Shia B'mir Basra was a Sveika Deraisa. It's not a Gzera Mid Rabbanon like the Rashba wrote in Torah Abayis. It's a real issue Deraisa. So that's what some of the Rishonim say, that just like Rashi al Shia B'mir Basra, Pasul's, even though the Shechita is finished already, because when you continue to cut with the knife, the miyud basra, so that's mitztarif to the shechita, and it comes out that he did a shechita b'shehiyah. So too, if you'll make the animal a gistera, how did you make the animal a gistera? See, if I shecht the behema or the oaf, and then I take a baseball bat and I break the spine, I'll crack the mefrekes. So that's not a hemshech from the shechita. So that'll just be a shayla of daf kuf yud gimel. That'll be a shayla of dam. But if you continue with the knife, you continue to cut with the knife, and you cut through the mefrekes, so the Mordechai quotes the Maharam Rutenberg, who understood in Rashi that it's not only a shayla lechatchila in kotchin, it's a shayla even b'dieved, and it's even a chulin, and it's a shayla because it passels the shechita. And that's a pel. How can you passel the shechita? He already finished the shechita behechsher. He already cut the roiva cut and the roiva veshit. So that's what they say. Rashi lishitasai. Just like Rashi holds that shir b'miyad basra, after you finished all shechita, if you do something later with the knife, continue to cut. If you take the knife and start cutting off the legs of the animal, that's not mitzdarf to the shechita. So that's not considered a hemshech with the shechita. But if you continue to cut with the knife, the miyud basra, say Rashi holds that makes a shia. So Rashi means to say if you continue to cut with the knife, the mifrekes, so then it makes it into a nevela. It's very shver. Why should it make it into a nevela? That's the whole deal. So that was the. Then some of the achrayim say that this chumra of the Maharam Rutenberg, that it makes it into a nevela, only applies to behemah, doesn't apply to oif. And they start giving all kinds of reasons why. In Germany, the gzeira of the Nazi government made the gzeira on oifus, that they should be shover the mifrekes by the oifus. So that's the second half of the Sefer. The Chelek Aleph of the Sridi Eish was about the two gzeiras that the Nazis made. The first gzeira about stunning the animals before the Shechita, and the second gzeira was about being shoved in the mefrekas of the oifus after you finished the Shechita. So if it's only a problem of dam, our Gemara, so then we paskin in Yeridea, not like Rashi, we paskin like the Rif, that you don't eat it b'umtza. But if you salt it, it solves the problem. So there's always a problem. But if you say like the Rashi on Chav Zayinam at Aleph, that if you shove the mifrekas with the sakin, so it's not only lechatchila problem, not only lechatchila bekotchim, not only lechatchila bechulman, some Rishonim holds even b'dieved, Rashi holds it makes a nevela. So that was the shayla. Should we distinguish between behema and oif? Is there room to be mekel by oif? So he has a whole literature on that. Okay. That's the Gemara till the Mishnah Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Yeah. Then the Tosfos on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Tosfos Dibra Maskel the Dogim Rofru Kramayhu. Tosfos was discussing the Gemara El Eloishna here on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph on the first white line. The Gemara says El Eloishna. We don't follow Rav Sheshes's practice. Rav Sheshes used to salt garma garma, every piece of flesh separately, because he was concerned the dam is going to come, and you've got to pile up flesh and salt it, so the dam is going to go from the upper piece to the lower piece. And he holds that the salting on the flesh only removes its own dam that was there naturally, the dam evarim. But it will not succeed in removing dam that came in mibachutz. So Gemara said, that's ridiculous. Chodonami, if you're going to salt one piece separately, each piece separately is also going to be a problem. Why? Parish mihagisa bola hagisa. Well, the answer is loishna. That's not a problem. Sure. That's not a problem. So why is the taka not a problem? You have pile up a lot of flesh. Why is it not a problem? So that's what Tosis had the different suggestions. So we adopt the biggest kula here, that even if I put the whole shir malicha is kishir mil. That's how we paskan. We don't paskan like that bahag. We had yesterday the Tosis on kufyudim ebeis diba maska kavda. My Atun Bey, Tosis quoted the Baal Halacha's Gedolos, Kishir Tzliya, the Shir Malicha is Kishir Tzliya. How long do you have to salt a piece of meat to remove all the dam? The amount of time that would it take to broil that piece of meat. Sometimes it takes a very long time to broil that piece of meat. Shir Malicha, it's not, no two pieces of meat are going to be the same, however long it would take to broil that piece of meat. So the Rosh quotes this as a machlekes, and he says that other Rishonim have a tradition based on the Gemara on Shabbos that the Shir Malicha is Kishir Mil. Shir Mil, we said yesterday, 22 and a half minutes. Fine. So let's say half an hour. The minute is he salted for an hour. You let it sit for an hour. So the shaila is, but if you salted the lower layer of meat, and then you don't get to salt the upper layer of meat till a half an hour later, till 45 minutes later. So the lower piece of meat already was poilet all the dam. We assume all the dam comes out in a sheer mill. Sheer mill is less than a half an hour for sure. Biggest chumr is 24 minutes. 18 minutes, 22 and a half minutes, 24 minutes. So after half an hour, there's no longer any dam coming out. So why does the Gemara say loishna? Why is it not a problem? Why aren't we concerned that the dam is going to be nivla from the upper piece of meat into the lower piece and it's going to come out? So that's what Taisa said. The biggest cooler was that the meat, after giving out all the dam, is going to be poilet tzir. So it calls man that it's poilet tzir, even though it's bolei adam mibachut. So just like it's poilet its own tzir, tzir is just the juice. The dam is gone already. So too, it's going to be poilet the dam that it's going to absorb mibachut. So that's what we make all based on that. So he quoted all the different suggestions, and that's the cooler that we adopt. And then Tosis has a shaila. My sir be beisu shal Rashi. What was that Tosis in the Rush quote? What happened in beisu shal Rashi? They salted a piece of meat for half an hour, and then they didn't do hadach achreina yet. And before they did hadach achreina, they took the piece of meat. We assume in a half they salted on a kli menukav, and all the dam is ripping down. So then you're supposed to rinse off the piece of meat to get off hadach achreina, to get off all of the salt that has all of the dam absorbed in it. If you cook the meat the way it is, so the salt has all the dam, so it's going to make everything treif. So what did you accomplish by salting it? So the incident that happened in Rashi's home was, they took this raw piece of meat after the shir melicha was over. By mistake, they forgot to rinse it off. They put it in, they left it in a kli she'ena menukav. And then they left it overnight when they came in the morning, so the pot was full of tzir. The pot was full of a lot of juice that came out. And it had this salt that had absorbed all of the dam, had dissolved, and all of this tzir. So the pashtus is, you don't have shishim, you probably don't have shishim in the tzir, keneged all of the salt, the volume of the salt. You have to measure keneged all of the salt, not just measure keneged the dam, because chanan b'shar isurim. Without chanam sharesim, lo yadina kama nofik b'nei. We don't know how to calculate how much dam there is. So we had to think more. Whenever you don't know how to calculate how much dam, so you have to measure keneged the whole unit of the things. You have to measure keneged all the salt. So apparently there was no shishim in the tzir that oozed out keneged all of the salt. So the shaila was new. The salt had dam absorbed in it. Sure, it's dam shemolcha. So it's only the rabban, but still, it's dam that's also with the rabban. So you have the dam is absorbed in the salt, and then the salt dissolved in the oil, and then it was sitting and soaking in the flesh. So doesn't it make a treif? It wasn't kovish kemevushal 24 hours, but the Gemara said sometimes if the flesh is cooked already, it's mevushal, so then the bliya will occur faster than 24 hours. So here, the flesh was soft already, had cracks in it. So Tosis discusses why doesn't it make the flesh treif. So Tosis gives two suggestions. So one suggestion they give the last line in Tosis. The dog Marofur Kamayu, next to the last line. Oh, mitam, maybe the reason is, why should it ask? Because Moliach Kiroseach, that's it. Kovish kemevusha, you need 24 hours, but here it should be maliach kerosech, because the tzir that had oozed out was extremely salty, because all of the salt dissolved in it, and was ena necha machmas molchai. So since it was so salty, so I should say maliach kerosech, and to soak in tzir makes a bli even much less than 24 hours. How we pass in soaking in tzir makes a bli in 6 minutes, 8 minutes. You say kovish in 6 or 8 minutes. So that's Tosis Shaila should make treif. So Rashi was mekel, and the Tosis is not sure why. So Tosis says maybe the second reason. Oh, mitam shepasuk korach hamelach machm shehif letabasa lachosha kiraseh kiriprishis liyah. Maybe whenever you have salt that was used to salt the meat, so the salt, so to speak, got exhausted from doing its work. It did its job to remove all of the dam. So then we declare Pasakar Hamelach. It's so exhausted, so the dam can no longer accomplish another stunt, to do another trick, to make Moliach Kiraseach, to make something treif. Because Pasuk Karech HaMelech. So the Rambam quotes this, B'shas Adchak, you rely on this. And that's what others are very unhappy. The Rosh is not happy with this Svari and Taisus. The Rosh quotes it and he says he doesn't think you should rely on that. So what is there to rely on? So Taisus gives another suggestion. All of the tzir that came out was mutter, because all the tzir came out after the Shir Melech already. It was sitting with the salt and a kli sheni menuka and a kli menuka for half an hour. So for sure, all the dam came out. So the tzir that comes out later on, the tzir is kosher. The only shail is, but the melach that was balua midam, the melach that had absorbed all the dam, dissolved in the tzir, so it should be kovish b'tzir, should be 6 minutes. That's why you should make a treif. So Taisus comes up with a suggestion that maybe the salt that absorbs the dam that's absorbed in the salt is sort of misyabishbo, gets dried up, gets arrested in the salt, and it can't leave. Nechetesa. I mean, how did the rabbis know that salting helps to remove? So they assume that when you apply salt to raw meat, so the salt is going to draw out the blood. So Taisus is visualizing that as if the salt draws out the blood and arrests the blood in the salt. So now that it's stuck in the salt, it doesn't go into the bosa. Then they say, aye, but the salt dissolved in the tzir. It dissolved. If the salt will be chunks of salt, melach glal nisa, the coarse salt, and it's just sitting there. So you can say, it doesn't leave the salt. But we're talking, all of this salt became dissolved. So they say it's still not a problem. They assume that this is all included in the din, that salting removes the dam and arrests the dam inside the salt, and it's not going to get back into the basa. Shver, it's hard to understand. The last line Tosfos says, even though that's a Rashi paskin lahakel, mikol kamein lahakel, we should not paskin lahakel. Shekvanoga hamisa. The minigolem is that if you have such a case, even though it was sitting in a kli menuka for half an hour, and all the dam went out already, whatever's coming out, and then I take it, I put it into a kli she'ena menuka. But now what's coming out is a tzir, but you have all of, and you don't have shishim in the tzir kineged the volume of the dam. So the minig is lesser. So Taisus says, whatever the Hezbein Rashi is, Rashi was right. Mikra Adin, Rashi is right, but we don't follow that. The minig is lahachmer, that if you don't have shishim against the salt, if you have shishim against the salt in the tzir, or you have water, so even though the melech is avida l'taima, so that's not a problem. That was the machlek, is the Rashbam and the other Baliyat Taisus. And we pass on the Shulchan Aruch, the melech abalom midam, all you need is shishim against the volume of the melech. Aye, but the melech is abida l'taima. There is no requirement. Even Chanan b'sharisim, there is no requirement. You have to be mevatel, a carrier of the yisr. You only have to be mevatel yisr. And ein anes yachal es mokom sheni yisr yachal ahalach l'sham. If the yisr doesn't go there, so bichlal, there's no problem. It's just the din in calculating the shishim. You have to measure shishim kineged the whole carrier. But it's not a din you have to actually be mevatel, a carrier of the yisr. That was we had yesterday, the Rashbam. And three places in Taisus. The top Taisus on Kuf Yibesim and Beis, and Kufam and Beis, and Kuf Chesam and Beis. The Rashbam keeps on repeating Natsa, but we don't pass on like that in Rashbam. So here Taisus says, the minig is lahachma, so you leave it like that. But Mi'ikar Adin, they're really convinced that Rashi is right. This is basically all of the Hilchas Melech and Simas Tamachtes. They collect a few more Gemaras here and there, not so much more. There is not so much more. We didn't. I asked the boys to try to prepare the Gemara, the end of Avodah Zarah. I forgot all about it. We're supposed to cover this year the dinim of Tvilas Kelim, Hechsher Kelim, and Pasakim and Bishalakim also. Okay, so it's not going to be that difficult to cover that. So I forgot. We didn't go through the din of Nos and Tamlev Gam yet. We discussed it a little bit, but we have to discuss some more, particularly the Machlekes, the Rashba in the Ran. What's the basis of the din of Nos and Tamlev Gam? Maybe one more chazer for the Bechina, so we'll go through the Yerideya. So they make a big fuss in the Shulchan Aruch about that. This machleg is the Rashba and the Ran. So maybe we'll save that for later. Okay. They will start now from the Mishnah, the end of Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, if you purchase Klei Tashmish Min Hoev De Kachavim, somebody buys pots and pans, forks and knives, plates, from a Nochri, and it's not kosher. So Esh Yedarka Lahatbil Yatbil. If the Goyim only use the Bitzainen, and there's no Bli of Bitzainen, so you don't have to kasher, there's just a mitzvah of Tvilas Kel. So you'd be Toivel Likli. Whatever is Darka Lahagil, Yagil. If they use it to cook treifa soup in it, so then you have to do Hagola, and then you'll do the Tvila and the Mikvah later. Whatever is Darka Lalabin, Ba'ur, is Yilabin Ba'ur. Ur means a fire, or means light, and Ur means a fire. Spelled the same way, Alev Avresh, but it's pronounced differently. So whatever is Darka Lalabin Ba'ur, a kli that the Nochrim used to broil treifa meat on it, to treifa food on it, so that you need libun on that, and then you have to have, after the libun, then you have to have the tefillah and the mikvah. And then the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Tana, the brisa says, "V'kulon tzichon tefillah ba'boim so." All those that need hagol or libun, after you do the hagol and libun, then you have to be toivo in a mikvah. Yeah. Is the seder me'akev? You have to dafke have the hagola first, and then the tefillah and mikvah. So some Rishonim insisted that the Seder is Miyakev, that if you'll be Toivel in a mikveh first, and then you kasha the Kli later, the Tvila in the mikveh won't help because it's called Toivel v'sheretz biyodoi. Yeah, Toivel v'sheretz biyodoi is a sifro on the Pasuk in Chumash that if a person is Tomei because he touched one of the dead Shmona Shvatzim, Chumash lists off 8 Shvatzim that are Tomei b'maisam. All the other dead bugs are not Tomei. Nivlas behema v'chaya mitame. Nivlas oif tohar is mitame abeis amli if you swallow it. But it's not mitame b'maga. Nivlas oif tome is not mitame at all. Only nivlas oif tohar is mitame abeis amli. So the Shmona Shvatzim are mitame b'maga. They're not mitame b'masa. Nivlas behema is mitame b'maga m'masa, not boil. Meis odom is mitame b'maga m'masa u'bohol. The smachleg is meisayakim with the mitame b'oil. So sheretz is only mitame b'maga, it's not mitame b'masa. The Shmona Shvatzim ma'amur matar mitame b'maga. So the Rashi al Chumash quotes from the Sifru, one of the psukim there, that if a person was tame because he touched the sheretz and he's still holding on to the dead sheretz and he's tovel in the mikveh, he's tovel the sheretz v'yodai, so he's still going to be tame. So that's the question, what does that mean? It means that the tvila accomplished to remove the tumah from before, but after he became tohor, then he's chayzim in itma, becomes tame again. Because he's still touching, still holding on to the sheretz after he became tohar from the previous tumor. Or should I say no? Kolzman is toivel the sheretz biyodah. It prevents the mikveh from being metayer him. Not only that the mikveh is metayer and now he's chozer min itmo, it prevents her from becoming tohar at all. So here we're talking about a case of tvilas kalim. The tvilas kalim obi has nothing to do with tumor v'tara, Tosis points out. It's not an issue that he wants to make sure that all the food that he eats is going to be tohar. He's not a person who's makbid on lechel chulim mitahara. He's not eating truma. If you're eating truma, you have to be careful that the kalim are not tummy. If the kli is tummy, it's going to be mitame the truma. It's prohibited to eat truma tomato. He's not eating truma. He's eating chulin, and it's not chulin from Eretz Yisrael, chulin for chutz l'aretz. So there's no issue of eating chulin al taras hakodesh. There's no issue. So the Tvilas Kelim is a mitzvah, it's a separate mitzvah. A kli hanikach min anachri, you have to do Tvilas Kelim. That's nothing to do with Tumah V'Tara. So that's why Tosis holds that it doesn't make sense to apply the rule of Tovel V'Sheretz Biyodah. That's the Tosis there, Ayin Hei Amud Beis. Magilon and Matbilon v'Hein Torah lav davken magil v'achakach yatbil. Ela matbil b'reisha is also good. If you Tovel the kli first, and then you do the Hagolah, is also good. There's no requirement, Dafke, to do the Hagolah, the kashering process first, before you do the Tefillah. This is against the other Rishonim. Other Rishonim disagrees. The Tosis is taking a stand. They don't agree. That's how we pass. We pass on Lechatchilu, should first do the kashering, and then do the Tefillah and the Mikveh. Because the other Rishonim hold that even B'di'evit, it's not good. But B'di'evit, if he did it in the reverse order, so we pass on that it's good that way also. So the Gemara says, "Bina hanimili." How do you know that there is a mitzvah of tefillas kelim? Where does it say? So the Gemara says there are two sources in Chumash. Amarav the Amakro after Melchemes Midyan, so they had all the trefa pots and pans from the Midyanim, from the soldiers. So the pasuk says, Kol davish yaveh ba'esh, tavir ba'esh v'toher. Whatever the goyim used for non-kosher food for broiling purposes, you should kibod kach polto is kovea. What form of kashering? So you have to kasher aydei libon. Whatever pot they used to cook trefa soup in, so since the bliya was aydei raitim, so you have to kasher aydei hagola. So the pasuk has an extra word called davish yaveh ba'esh, tavir ba'esh. Vitoher. What kind of vitoher? You should say tavir ba'esh. You should burn out the trefa bliya by doing libun. What do you mean vitoher? So the vitoher has the connotation, and you should be toivelet in the mikveh afterwards. And that's what it's referring to. The word vitoher is a reference to the tefilas kel. Bar Kapara has a, there's a brayse that quotes Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nosi, he was a Tana. He has a different post. Ach be'meinido yischato. That the Poshep Shat, the Targum Unkle, says, the main nida means mei ado yusa. That if a person becomes tamei because he came in contact with a maize, so he needs azo shlishi shvi. So if a kli becomes tamei because he came in contact with the maize, a maize avi avois hatuma. So if the kli becomes an av hatuma, if it's a kli cheres, a kli cheres ain't lo tara benikve, so the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, the last daf in Erevin, called Davish Ein Latar Mikveh Ein Anasa Av Hatuma. So it can never become an Av Hatuma. Kli Cheres doesn't have tar be mikveh, so there's no way to be mitar anyway. We're talking about a kli mateches. So the kli mateches or a kli eitz. So it becomes tomei. So in order to be mitar, it's you have to have hazor shlishi shvi with paraduma water, and then you have to be matbalit in the mikveh after the hazor shlishi shvi. So that's how the Targum Onkelos translates. Ach be meinido yischato. Meidina means mei adayusa. Water that's sprinkled means the paraduma water should be sprinkled. Ach be meinido yischato. They should be maza hazor shlishi shvi, and then be toivel the kli in a mikveh. So the Gemara, this Tana, Bar Kapara, has an additional level of interpretation on the phrase meinido. Targum Onkelos does not assume that that's pshuto shel mikveh. He says mei adayusa. So Bar Kapara is not the pshuto shel mikra. Either it's an additional level of interpretation that's the raisa, or it's only the rabbanim. That's a question. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash over there by Midbar Lamed Al thinks that the whole tefilas kel was only an asmachta with the rabbanim. He thinks that it's not the raisa at all. And in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is not so, that this is a drasha gemara. This is an additional level of interpretation. True, it's not pshuto shel mikra, but still, it's a drasha of the Torah shel Baal Peh. That b'mayim shahanida tavelus behem, just like a nida would have to be tovel in the mikvah mem. So too, if you have kelim hanikchim in anochrim, they waged the war against the minyanim and they confiscated all the trefik kelim. So in addition to kashering them, they have to be tovel them in the mikvah as well. Kelim? I don't know. Have to look in the Tosfos, what do they say? I don't know. So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is not like that Ramban. In fact, the Ra'or and the Berak HaBayis on the Torah HaBayis, the Ra'or quotes the Ramban, he heard Shurim from the Ramban. He quotes that the Ramban said not so. He quotes that the Ramban and the Shia said that the Tfilas Kelim is a Din Deraisa. That's the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch. The Tfilas Kelim is a Din Deraisa. The only question is, on which kind of Kelim? Some wooden Kelim, there's no Din of Tfilas Kelim. The Gemara says, why? Because kli, the Gemara's lashon is kli mateches amurim parsh. The Gemara says one of the Amoraim thought that you even have to be toivel earthenware dishes. Where's the Gemara? Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef zov amana de mardo le'av kacham. He bought some china dishes. He bought some mugs, china mugs from a nochri. Zovel hadbila. He thought that china needs tefila also. Rabbi Yankiv Shmeis, Rabbi Yankiv and Amora told Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, no. I heard from Rabbi Yechanan, Klimatches Amurim Parsha. The Parsha talks about Achas Azov as a Nechoshes, as a Barzal, as a Eferes, as Abdil. The Parsha lists off all the different kinds of Kli Mateches. Only Kli Mateches need Tvilas Kelim. And earthenware does need tefillas kelim. Then the Gemara says, what about kli zchuches? Is that so? So Rav Ashi says, no. Hani kli zchuches hol v'chi nishtar b'yesh lam takonik k'kli mateches domo. Kli zchuches has the same din like kli mateches because It's similar to mateches in that if you have a klima, if you have a pot that's klima mateches, and it develops a hole in it, so you're not going to have to throw it out. In the days of the Gemara, they wouldn't throw it out. They would hold the klima mateches next to the fire, a very high fire, and have part of the metal melt till it would melt over the hole. You would patch up the hole by melting it a little bit. So the same is true regarding kli zechuches. If you develop a crack or a hole in a kli zechuches, you can fix it also by heating up the zechuches so much till part of the glass is going to melt, and it'll fill in that hole, that crack that it developed. So since kli zechuches chol v'chinish tabi yesh lam takone, therefore kikli mateches dama. So this is a machlokes in Achrayim. What does this mean? So most of the Achrayim assume that it means that it's only midrabbanan. That's the reason why the rabbis introduced midrabbanan tefilas kelim and klei zechuches. Minority opinion quoted by the Darkei Tshuva is no, that klei zechuches is chayv in tefilas kelim min haTorah. The Gemara didn't mean that it's midrabbanan. So let's say klei mateches. Klei mateches chayv min haTorah. So the Gemara said, what if you have a metal scissors that you use to cut cloth in order to make a pair of trousers, in order to cut the clothing? So the Gemara says, Azuga, what does the Gemara call it? Afilu, Maskeflar Avsheshes, really? Ihachi, all, even if you buy a brand new kli from a Nochri that's not treif at all, you still need tefilas kelim. Even kelim chadoshim, the Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe kelim chadoshim, brand new kelim unused, maybe there's no issue of tefilas kelim. Gemara says it can't be, because the Chumash speaks about kashering the kelim and then doing tefilas kelim. So if you're going to do libun, you're going to do libun. In the days of the Gemara, the metal pots and pans were not the way they are today. Today they're treated in such a way that you put it on the fire, a layer of metal is not going to fall off. In the days of the Gemara, they used to have metal pots and pans, like raw metal today. If you have raw metal, you heat it to a high enough temperature, the whole outer layer of the metal will fall off. So the Gemara says, if you had a treifa kli that you took from Midian and you did a libun on it, and the outer layer of metal falls off, so what's left behind is mamish like a brand new kli. The whole part of the kli that had a bliya disappeared already. The whole thing fell off. The outer layer fell off. And nonetheless, the Torah says that you need tefilas kelim. That's mamish like chadoshim. So you see that even kelim chadoshim, hanikchim min hanochrim, are also included in the mitzvah of tefilas kelim. Not only if it's a treifah kli, even if it's not a treifah kli. So the Gemara says, really, it has nothing to do with kashrus and treifas. But what if you have a zuza means a scissors. The sarbala means a pair of pants. If you have a scissors that's intended to cut cloth in order to make clothing, so you should, there's a mitzvah of tefilas kelim on that. So he responds back, the Amora, Rav Nachman is saying, no, klei suda amur meparsha. No, it's only kelim that have to do with food. The kelim, either the forks and the knives that you eat with or the glass that you're drinking in, klei suda. Yeah, what does that mean, klei suda? So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. If the kelim prepare food, but it's so far in advance on the final product, then it's not called klei suda. So the Moshul and Shulchan Aruch, they quote that the Rishonim had a debate regarding a sakan shel shchita. When you shecht an animal with a knife, so if you don't shecht the animal, you can't eat it. You have to shecht it. But then after you shecht it, it's still mechusar a lot of tikkunim. You have to remove the hide, then you have to salt it, and then you have to cook it. There are so many other pulas that are missing. So that's a shaila, so that's why we're toivel that b'li brocha. The sakan shel shchita will be toivel b'li brocha. Or the same thing, let's say, when you bake matzah, so you have an instrument that's used to make holes in the matzah, that it shouldn't become chametz stick when they're going to bake it. So that's used dafke on the raw dough, and no one ever eats. It's not normal to eat the raw dough of matzahs. That's also a sofik, whether that needs tefilas kelim. So far from the so far in advance of the final product that we eat, maybe it's not considered klei suda. So the only time it's chayv in tefilas kelim is if it's klei suda. Klei suda means that it's closer to the final product that you're going to eat.
What about a can opener?
Can opener for sure does not need tefilas kelim, even if it touches the food. Let's say when you open the can, so the can opener dips in a little bit into the tuna fish, or dips in a little bit into the tomato soup, or whatever it is. But that is not locher than anything that touches the food needs tefilas kelim. Plain opener for sure doesn't need. The Shach gives kelim that is similar to can openers. So he says you don't need tefilas kelim on that. let's say some people have they have a metal plate, they have a golden plate on the bottom that they put the dishes on, and they put the food on top of the dishes. So the bottom plate is to hold an upper plate. You never put, unless you put sometimes some food on the bottom plate also. But if you never put any food on the bottom plate, only on the upper plate, so a kli that's intended to hold another kli, like a tripod, to hold a pot on top in order to cook. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, the tripod doesn't have to have tefillas kelim. Only kli sud, only kelim that... that hold the food. Hold the food doesn't necessarily mean it has to touch the food. Let's say you have a cookie tray, and the cookies are very greasy. Cookies are very oily. So you put the doily on top of the cookie tray, so you put the cookies on top, so the doily or the paper toweling should absorb some of the oil or some of the grease from the cookies. But bottom line, the the tray is holding the cookies. The tray is holding the cookies with a hepsik, with a chatzitza of a piece of paper in between. But you don't say the paper is holding the cookies and the plate is holding the paper which is holding the cookies. The paper is not holding the cookies. The tray is holding the cookie. Tray is holding the cookies and the paper is mafsik in between. So that's what the Dr. Tshuva writes over there. That's a mistake that some people think. They think the only time you need tefillas kelim is if the food is actually touching the kli. That's not required. The food doesn't have to touch the kli. We have this mitzvah tefillas kelim. It's according to the Ramban and Chumash, it's only an asmach that the whole thing is only the Rabbanan, and we assume in Shulchan Aruch it's not so. It's the Raisa, and then they have a machlekes on this line where the Gemara said that klei zchuchis, if they'll crack, you can fix it by melting this hol v'chinushtar b'yeshlam takana. Therefore, kikli mateches damu. Is that an explanation on the level of the Raisa? That's how some hold, and we assume not so. That's an explanation why Midirabbanan they introduced Tfilas Kelim on Klei Zchuchis. Then Gemara talks about Kunya. What is Kunya? Kunya is a Kli Cheres that's not Ksuvim Beparsha. Only Ksuvim Beparsha is Klei Mateches Ksuvim Beparsha. Klei Mateches Amurim Beparsha. Kunya is not. But this kunya used to be a china dish, and they would pour on a layer of metal on the top, a thin layer of metal on top. So china doesn't need tefillas kelim, but if it's mitzupe b'mateches, then it does need tefillas kelim. That's a machlekes in the Gemara. Is it charame ketchilosa? Machlekes Rav Achim Ravina. Charame ketchilosa. Since it started off as a kli cheres, so one Amara holds as dina kikli cheres because it already functioned. You could use it as a kli before you pour on the metal. But charama kisofan. The other Amara says no. You treat it since you pour on a layer of mateches on top, so you treat it like kli mateches, and it does need tefillas kelim. The Amara says on this machlek is veilchus a kisofo. If it's mitzupe be'avor, mitzupe be'mateches, so then it's dina kimateches, and you need tefillas kelim. Shad is the way we assume lahalacha. That tzchuchis is only midrabban, and tzchuchis is not minatoris. What if you have china dishes that are mitzupe b'tzchuchis? China dishes that are mitzupe b'tzchuchis. But you also require a tefillas kelim. So the achrayim have it like this. Sometimes they have china dishes, and they have a fancy design, and they just spray on a little bit. Ask your mothers when they go to ceramics. But sometimes they just spray on with a spritzy thing, a very thin layer of a thin coating of glass, so that when you cut with the fork and the knife, you shouldn't scratch the design. So the thin layer is mamish 50th of an inch, very little. The dish has a certain thickness to it that holds the food, and the layer of schuches on top is mamish a mashu. It doesn't really contribute to the thickness of the kli. It's just for the purpose of protecting the design. So if that's the case, so then Achredim say that for sure doesn't need tefillas kelim. That's not called mitzupe b'schuchas. But the shad is a lot of times, you go to an engagement, you go to a vort, and they break a china plate. So you look at the side of the china plate, so you see that half of the thickness is the china, and half of the thickness is the glass. It's not just sprayed on a thin mashuhu, the mashuhu on the surface. So that's a shayla in Shulchan Aruch. So that's what the shach, I think, quotes the Issa v'Heta. They're just like Hilchasa, the Gemara says Hilchasa kisofo. If you have kunya means kli cheres, which don't need tefillas kelim, but it's mitzupe ba'avor, mitzupe b'mateches. So Hilchasa kisofo, since the mitzupe b'mateches, you need tefillas kelim. So what if you have kli cheres that's mitzupa bischuches, also hilchus kisofa? It's not exactly 100% sushta because we assume schuches is only midrabbanan. So maybe it's too much of a chumra over here. So that's why many are mekel on china dishes. Many are mekel, and even those who are toivel china dishes that are mitzupa bischuches, they don't say a bracha because they recognize that it's not 100% muchruch from the gemara. Yeah, this din only applies if the kli once belonged to a nochri. Let's say the owner of the company was Jewish. It's a Jewish company, and they manufacture pots and pans, forks and knives. And I buy it from the Jew, then you don't need tefillas kelim, unless there was a period of time in the middle. That's what the Achrayim say, when you sell your chametz before Pesach, so you shouldn't sell the chametz to the pots and pans. If you sell the pots and pans to the nochri and you buy it back, then you have to have tefillas kelim all over again. You sell the chametz. You don't have to. There is no bal yirah by matzah b'lias kelim. The Gemara is beferish like that. There's no bal yirah b'lias kelim unless your wife is sloppy and she leaves cookie crusts. She leaves the crust of the challah on the baking tin. So the challah is roi l'achilas adam. Okay, that's not balun. That's not b'liyah. That's b'yen. So if you have a b'yen on the pan and it's not nipsal me'achilas kelim, so then there's going to be a bal yirah by matzah. You don't have to worry about the blias kelim. So the din only applies if the kelim once belonged to a nochri. Tosis and Baba Kama has a suffix that they quote in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara in the end of it, and Agoizel has a suffix whether umen koinem bishvachli or ein umen koinem bishvachli. There's an umen and there's a poil. A poil is a person who gets paid. He does his work from 9 to 5 and he gets paid. So sometimes they have a lot of work for him to do. Sometimes it's an easy day. It doesn't work so hard. He doesn't get paid by the unit. He did work on 50 pots today, and the other day he does work on 100 pots. So the day he does work on 100 pots gets paid more than the day on which he gets does work on 50 pots. No, he gets paid the same amount of money. He sits there in the factory and he does work from 9 to 5, whatever they ask him to do. So that's a poil. So a poil, you pay him for his time. An uman, that's a shalah. An uman, you pay him by the unit. The agreement is if he makes one pot today, so I'll pay him $2. If he makes 20 pots today, I'll pay him $2 times 20. So that's a shayla in Gemara, whether umen koine b'shvachkli, or ain't umen koine b'shvachkli. I give the umen the raw material. I don't pay him by the hours. If he can snap his finger by a shem amfairish, by some Kabbalistic stunt, he can accomplish that by snapping his finger, all the work will be done. I agree to pay him $2 for every pot that he makes. So he takes I give him raw material, and he takes the raw material. Raw material is worth $10. At the end of the day, all of these pots and pans are worth $300. So the differential between $10 and $300, $290, you say the umen is kind of that, because he created that shvach. He created that shvach. And I agree that we may make up in advance what the salary is going to be. I don't tell him I'm going to pay him $290, that I'm not going to make any profit over here. So we make up, I'm going to pay him whatever, $50 a day, $50 for the work that he does. So is that pshat that I'm buying the shvach of the kli from him? Because he created the shvach, the raw material originally was only worth $10. Now the kelim are worth $300, so the $200 worth of value, we're shutfim. The original owner still owns 10. I'm the original, I'm the balabos. It's my factory where he's doing all the work. So I own $10 worth of all of these kelim, and he owns $290 worth of all the kelim. All the kelim together worth $300. We're shutfim. Usually in shutfim, I can say good or yogurt. I can buy you out, you can buy me out. But here it's self-understood that I'm only, the balabas is only allowing the woman to become a shutif. Not that the woman should be able to buy him out. No, that I should be able to, balabas should be able to buy out the woman and not to pay him $290. I'm buying him out. I'm paying for his chelik and the shutzus, and we made up in advance. If I give him $50, I give him $30. Everything will belong to me. So then it comes out that I'm buying up his shutzus in the pot, and then there won't be a din of l'solim pula sachar itcha boiker. L'solim pula sachar is only when it's paying for schar ha'pu'ula. But here I'm purchasing a bien. If I buy an automobile, there is no din of lasol and pula socher. That's a special din, a unique din that only applies to schiras poilim. So that's the suffix that the Gemara has. There is a din of lasol and pula socher itcha boiker. Does it apply to an umen or not? Should I say, ein umen kind of bishvachli? The umen is not kind of the $290 work of extra that the kli is not worth, since I own the original $10 worth of raw material, and my raw material now, I got this suman to do all the work for me, now it's worth $300. That's called aray ashbach. Aray means hakarka sheli hishbiach. If I have karka and I have trees, and the trees grow apples, or I have karka, someone built a house on my karka. So whoever built a house on my karka, whether it's shvacha de bemeil or shvacha de biadayim, whether I have trees growing on the karka, and the apples grow on the trees, or I have a karka, someone comes and they plant the tree on the karka. So the din is, since I own the karka, I say aroy ashba ha karka sheli hishbiach. So everything belongs to me. I'm kainah. So the whole $300 belongs to me, since I originally owned the $10 of the raw material. So the extra $290 belongs to me, and I agreed to pay him $36 or $50 for the work that he did. So that's like a poel, just like a poel works from 9 to 5. So Uman also. The Uman gets paid not by how many hours he sits and does the work in the office, he pays by how much he accomplishes. If he snaps his fingers and he uses a Hashem Amfarish and he does all the work in a half a minute, matos, I still have to owe him the $36 or the $50. But it's only Bataris Chiris Palim. It's not Bataris buying the Bien. So then if it's Bataris Chiris Palim, then there will be a din of La Salam Pala Sakhi Itchabib. So the Gemara had this in the Bayit Leib Shita. What's the din? Whether Uman kainim mishvakli, ainim kainim mishvakli. The suffix is only, the Gemara Zibai is only by Uman. By Poel, there never was a suffix. So let's say you have a Jewish factory. You have non-Jewish workers in the factory. So the Ruba, probably 99.99% of all the workers get paid by the hour. They don't get paid by the job. How many pots and pans they finish in the course of the day. So usually it's not a shaila. The only time it's a suffix, whether Uman kainim mishvakli, is when he's an Uman and he gets paid by the unit. But if he's a poel, no one holds that he's kind of mishvachli. So Taisus has the suffix. What if you'll have such a case? I come with raw material. I come with silver or gold, and I bring it to a goyisha Uman, and I say, make me a becher out of this raw material. And he makes a beautiful becher. So the original gold or silver was worth $100. Now that he made it into a fancy becher, it's worth $1,000. So the extra $900, do you say the Uman was kind of that? And when I agreed to pay him $25 for making it, that means I'm buying it back from him? Or do you say, no, the Ein Uman kind of Bishvachli. Since the raw material of $100 of the raw material of the gold or the silver was mine, so Aroy Ashbach, now that the Becher is worth $1,000, everything goes to the Balabas, and I agreed to pay the Uman $25 or $50 for the work that he did. That's Chiris Poelim. So Tosis raises the issue there in Baba Kama, would you need Tfilas Kalim on that or not? So that's a suffix in Shulchan Aruch. That's a suffix. That's all the way Tosis understood that Uman Koinim Mishvachli is taken literally. When the Uman does the work and he improves the raw material, so there's room to say that if the raw material was worth $100 and now the Becher is worth $1,000, so who's Koinim the $900? Is the Uman Koinim because he created the Shvach, or the Balabas is Koinim because Aroy Ashbach? Who wins? The Ktzais HaChoshen disagrees with the whole premise of the Tosis. He thinks the whole thing is a mistake. Even if you hold this, and he buys Lev Sheet in the Gemara, the Uman Koinim Mishvach Kli. So the Ktzais in Choshem Ishbot writes, he thinks that Uman Koinim Mishvach Kli doesn't mean that the Uman is kind of the extra $900 and we're Shutfim. He says, nah, it just means that there's a Shibut. Usually Shibun Nechosim is only on Karka. Once in a long while you have Shibun Nechosim on Metaltalim also. Where do you have Shibun Nechosim and Metaltalim? Let's say if you give a mashkin, Balchov Kohen a mashkin, I lend you money, I lend you $5,000, and I'm afraid they may never pay back the money. So I say, I'd like you to give me some diamond ring that's worth a few $1,000. Give me the ring as a mashkin. So if you give me a mashkin, the Loibe gives a mashkin to the Malveh, then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yitzchak's din, in different Mesichtes, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yitzchak's din, Balchov Kohen a mashkin, and the Shibun Nechosim and the Metaltalim, and the Tachas Yad HaMalveh, is stronger than the Shibun Nechosim and Karka. The Shibun Nechosim on Karka, that's Tachas Yad Halove, that's Shibun Nechosim, that's one level. And normally there is no Shibun Nechosim on Metaltalim, but if the Loive gave a Mashkin to the Malve, and it's Tachas Yad HaMalve, then Machlov Kana Mashkin means it's even stronger than that. So that's what the Ktzai says, Uman Koinim Mishvach Kli, he thinks that Tosis is in Gansan off the mark. Tosis made a mistake. Tosis thought Uman Koinim Mishvach Kli means literally, that since the Uman is Mashbiach, the raw material, and he makes it go up in value, So that extra amount is since he created the shvach, so he's koinin the shvach. The Tzais thinks it doesn't mean that. It just means he created the shvach. The shvach belongs to the balabais because I roi hashbach. But the uman has a kinyan b'miktzas. He has a kinyan in the shvach hakli with respect to that. It's like a balchov koinin mashkin. That's all. Yeah, but basically the kli really belongs to the balabas. So then the pashta says that all he has is shibudim on it. So then he shouldn't need tefilas kelim v'choladez.
What if one rents a
kli
from a
guy? The Gemara asked the question, what if he rent from a guy? So the Gemara says, then you don't, it's not shaykh to have tefilas kelim. It's not shaykh to have tefilas kelim. You only need tefilas kelim in the Sefer Yisra the Heta by the Rabbi Yoni Ashkenazi. The Shach quotes it in Yeriday in the beginning of the second chel. Rabbi Yoni writes there that tefilas kelim is like an act of geirus, a megar the kelim, just like a non-Jewish person can convert. So here with being megar the kelim, the pots and pans, it's only shaykh to be megar the pots and pans if they no longer belong to the nachri. But if they still belong to the nachri, a Jew just borrowed it or rented it, but it doesn't really belong to him, so it's still betumas akum. It still belongs to the nachri, so it's not shaykh to be megar. So since it's not shaykh, so you don't need any tefilas kelim in such a situation. That's the Gemara. In Europe, there was a big machlokes when they instituted the whole concept of a corporation, but it has limited liabilities. So what does it mean? It means it's really a shutfis. Let's say a nochri has a factory where he manufactures pots and pans, but he incorporates himself. He doesn't want to have a personal liability. So legally speaking, according to the din and the machusa, he doesn't really own the pots and the pans. He owns the corporation. The corporation in turn owns the pots and pans. The corporation is a dummy bailin. It's a chaloshen bailin. What we would call in halacha, a chaloshen bailin. There's a bailin. I own something, you own something, we own something. B'shutfis, we have 25 people, we own b'shutfis. One of them owns 75% of the thing, and the other 24 people own the other 25% of the thing. You can have shutfis. And then over here, and then you have, let's say, the ownership, a person or a group of people have ownership. And then sometimes you have tzedakah owns money, or hegdash owns money. What do you mean hegdash owns? The Rabbanu Shalom owns it. No, it means there's a chaloshem hegdash. That chaloshem has a bailus. Or let's say tzedakah owns. Tzedakah is not a person. It's the entity of tzedakah. So the chaloshem bailum at tzedakah owns it. So the halacha does recognize such things. There is such a bailus as a chaloshem bailus. So the question that they had in Europe was, does the halacha recognize this new figamajig that was invented by the Din of the Mahusa? Do we recognize this concept of corporation? That the dummy chaloshem bailus of the corporation owns the pots and pans, the nachri owns the company, but the company owns the pots and pans. And let's say, so if you buy pots and pans that was manufactured by a corporation, so it never belonged to a nachri, so you never have to do tefilas kelim. What do you say? No, we don't recognize such a thing. The chaloshem bailus that we recognize is mamon hashevet, shevet kohanim, shevet leviyim, man truma, meiser, mamon av tzedakah, mamon av hegdish. But a corporation, we would consider it as if it's a shutfis, and they specified in advance on the condition that there isn't going to be any shibud aguf. But basically, really a shutfis. So that's a shaila. How we would treat it. So that's really a question. Whenever you buy pots and pans, they're usually manufactured by a goyish corporation. The goyish corporation, according to many poskim, means that it never really belonged, the kelim never really belonged to an achri. It belonged to the dummy corporation. It's not a human being at all. It's not a yid, it's not a goy. So then the pashta says you wouldn't need tefilas kelim. So that's why some have the practice that whenever they do tefilas kelim, they always do without a bracha, because it's always a suffix. How to treat this? There was a machlokes 100 years ago when they started the institution of corporations, whether the halacha recognizes that or not. Yeah, we mentioned that Tosfos had a machlokes with the others. Is this called Tovel v'sheretz biyodai? What if you Tovel the kelim before you kasher them? So some Rishonim held, the Arzurah quotes the Rashbam, I think. He holds that even by the evidence, no good. If you did tefilas kelim before you did the kashering, Tovel v'sheretz biyodai is no good. We don't pass like that. We pass like Tosfos. that b'di'evad it would be good. L'chatchila, more correct is the kasha first, and then to do the tefilas kelim. So the Pischi Tshuva writes a chiddush on this. He thinks that the only time you would have a machlokes harishonim would be if the kli is treif ba'oda ben yomo, because that was the gemara there on daf. That's the last daf in avodah zarah. This is this mishnah zayin hayamid base. The last daf in avodah zarah is zayin vav. Zayin vav is where the gemara said that min atorah liyos atorah lekader bas yoma, and the kader sheina bas yoma is only a gzera derabban, gzera ena ben yomo to ben yomo. So that's what the Pischi Tshuva writes. He thinks that this whole machlekes harishonim, the whole machlekes harishonim, if you'll be tevel a treif a kli, whether tevel shares biyada, that's only when it's still ben yomo. When it's an ena ben yomo, it's a mikra din, it's muta, it's a chumra midirabana that you have to kasha. But it's really not treif, so that there is no sheret. Even midirabana, there is no sheret. It's a gzera, ena ben yom, ota ben yom. So that's what the Pischi Tshuva wants to say. And others, contemporaries of the Pischi Tshuva, in the Amudei Or, in Shalos Tshuvos Amudei Or, he has a tshuva. I think Rabbi Chiel Heller, no? He was the Rav in Suval. I remember Rav Soloveitchik once was telling a story that his father saved up money. His father's a poor man. He saved up money till he bought the Amudei Or. So I thought it's a gewaldig sefer to buy. So I saved up some money, I bought it. Not so good. Okay. So Shalos Tshuvos, there were many goyim. There was a generation where every little village had a great goyim. That's the Rav. So Shalos Tshuvos, like all the others. So he was a contemporary of the Pischi Tshuva. So he sent him a letter. He disagrees with this. He says from the Rishonim it would appear that they're arguing about a klisha ena ben yomo. He doesn't think that's correct. That since a klisha ena ben yomo is koshim and ator, it's only lachatchilim and derabbanon, so that's why it's not called Tavi v'sheretz biyada. He questions whether that's correct or not. Taisus has a famous comment that's quoted here in Yerideh Simikuf Tov, all the dinim of tefilas kelim. So Taisus has a comment on the Loshen HaGemara. We know that there are three different areas of tefilas kelim, of tefila in a mikveh. Sometimes somebody or something is tomei from the things in a mekabel tumah. There are only four things. Four categories. Adam, Kelim, Ochel, Mamashkim. Ochel, Mamashkim have no tarab in mikveh. That's why they can never become an avatumah. That's the Gemara, the last daf in Erevin. Kol shein la tarab in mikveh, and asa avatumah. Adam, Kelim have tarab in mikveh, except for Klicheris. Klicheris has no tarab in mikveh, so Enachanami, it can't become an avatumah. So Adam, Kelim have tarab in mikveh. So how much, if they're tummy, they have tarab in mikveh. How much of a mikveh do you need? So for tefilas adam, the Mishnah is saying need arboim so. Why? Because you need ma'im shekol gufo el b'hem b'vasachas. The person has to be able to submerge his whole body under the surface of the water at one time. He can't dip in one leg and another leg and one arm and another arm, dip his head in an aver at a time. That's no good. You have to have ma'im shekol gufo el b'hem b'vasachas. V'shira chachamim that it's arboim so. Even if the person is a midget, then he can squeeze and he can fit into a mikveh that only has 20 saw. A baby is tummy. He can fit the baby into a tiny mikveh of 20 saw. So the Mishnah says that that's no good, and most of the Rishonim assume that that's a lo plug derais. It's not a din derabbanon. The Mishnah says if you have a mikveh, it's a safik if you have mem saw, safik if you didn't have mem saw. So it says that the tefillah is no good because safik derais aluchum. So the pashtus and the Mishnah is that the mem saw is a din deraisa, even though the person did fit into the mikveh. When it says shira chachamim, it doesn't mean that it's a din midirabbanon. Shira chachamim, mem saw, that's the shira for everybody. Unless the person is very fat and very tall, he's a giant and he's very big. He's not Jewish, he's not mekabel tumah, he's not mekabel tarah. But if you have a Jewish, and he can't fit into a mikveh of arboim saw, so Darach HaShulchan writes it's a double portion that you need more than arboim saw. He doesn't fit in. You need ma'im shekol gufo el b'hem b'vasachas. The Darkei Tshuva disagrees with the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, apikursus, what do you mean? You need more than mem so. The Gemara says, shira chachamim mem so. It's a little bit humorous. What do you mean apikursus? If he's a giant and he's very fat, and Matzias, he's not going to fit into Abba himself. Of course he needs more than mem so. I don't understand what the taina is. Avada Aruch HaShulchan is right. Mem so is the shir for the mikveh. Even for a midget, but if a person is so big or so fat that he can't squeeze into a tiny mikveh, so of course you need more than memso. So normally a mikveh is for the purpose of removing tumah. So if it's a person who's tamei, you always need them. So if it's a kli that's tamei, the Tosis here quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. Tosis anayin heim lebeis dima mascha maim shahanido tavelas behem. So the quote the Gemara in Nozir and in Pesachim ben Atorah. If you have a little needle that's tamei, or you have a little tzinoira, a little fork that's tamei, machtem tzinoirias, you can be tovelam in a mikveh of revius mayim. And it's only midirabbanan, the Gemara says in Nozir, daf lamedches, the Tosis quotes it, batluhu li reviyosa. The midirabbanan, they're mevatel that, and you need memso even for tfilas kelim. So Tosis says that's if you tovel a person or a kli to remove the tumor. So tefilas adam needs memso, and tefilas kelim does need memso, needs a revius. Or if it's a bigger kli, needs more than a revius, fine. And it's only midirabbanan that needs memso. Then Tosis said there's another kind of tefila. That's the agershin is gaya. Agershin is gaya is that we're not removing the tumah. The goy doesn't have any tumah minator. In the rabbanim, we treat the goyim as if they're all tumah zah. But minator, they're not makabel tumah. They're not tumah. They can't be tumah at all. So when a goy is toivel in a mikveh, it's in order to endow him with kedusha. And when the kohanim were toivel in the mikveh to become kohanim, that's how they became when the bechiras hakohanim took place. And when the bechiras halevim took place, it says they had to be toivel in a mikveh. When the kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he wants to be makor karbonus, the din says he has to be toivel in the mikveh. On Yom Kippur, the kohen gadol is toivel 5 times in the mikveh. Every time he puts on the big dekuna, takes off big dekuna, puts on new ones. So big day malem konosam malem, it's mikadoshim anu. So each time he needs a new tefillah mikveh. So that's a tefillah mikveh to endow kedusha, to endow kedusha to the person. And that's what the Issa V'Heta claims. Then he writes in Nisa Vehetta, quoted by the Shach, that Tfilas Kelim is like an act of Geirus on the Kelim. I want to convert the Kelim. And then there's a third din of Tfilah in the Mikveh. If a woman is a Nida, and she goes to, so a woman is a Nida, is an Av HaTumah, she goes to the Mikveh, removes the Tumah. But a woman who is a Nida is Asur Labayla, when she goes to the Mikveh, it makes a Materis Labayla, not always hand in hand with the Tahara. You can have a case where the woman is Temeyo Minatorah, and she's Materis Labayla. They're not necessarily Toli Zebizah. Rabbi Chon of Asman has a whole essay in the Sefer on Yevamis and the Kibbutz Ha'oris that it's not Toli Zebizah. So there are really three different kinds of tefillah in a mikveh. The tefillah that removes tumah, tefillah that endows kedusha, and a tefillah that's matir. Tefillah nida labayla is matir. Matir the yisa nida.
How do I have a case like that? Where she's tumeah midaraisa and still mataris labayla?
He has a few cases. Poletas, he has a few cases. He quotes Rishonim, obscure Rishonim, in different cases that you can have an atar. A woman is muteris lebaila and she's still an avatumah. So here Tosfos has this chiddush. They say Tosfos assumes that tefilas kelim is deraisa, not like the Ramban al atar that it's only an asmachta. Simple reading of the Gemara that is deraisa. So Tosfos says, why does the Loshan Apostle say achde meinidi eschata maim shahnido tovelos behem? So that's what it means. Normally tefilas kelim, to remove tumah from the kelim, would have been enough with the revius of mayim, a smaller size mikveh. And it's only mid the rabbanon that the Gemara says in Nars and Daf Lamed Ches ditluha lirviyasa. Mid the rabbanon they are mevatel the ability to be tovel tamid the kelim in a mikveh of a revius. But by tefilas kelim hanikchem and anochem, then you need memso min haTorah. That's what you're learning up in the pasuk. Why? Because it's a different kind of tefila. It's not a tefila to remove tumah. It's a tefila to be male kedusha. To endow it with kedusha, that's like the Rabbi Yehuda says. It's a tefila like a megayer, like a megayer anoch. We say he megayer the kelim. The problem is that in Shulchan Aruch they quote in Anchulin, there's a machlokes in the Gemara on Lamed Aleph, Amen Aleph and Chulin. The last few lines on Amen Aleph. What if a woman was crossing over a bridge, and she's wearing loose clothing, and she fell off of the bridge and she fell into the river, and the river is a kosher mikveh. And she didn't have kavanah at all, the shame tefillah in the mikveh. She just had kavanah to save her life. She happened to be submerged totally under the surface of the water, and there were no chatzitzes, and it happened she was telling mikveh b'li kavanah. So that's a machlokes, and we paskin that mikveh adin is good, that chulin ain't tzvichin kavanah. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. They say in Shulchan Aruch, let's say I bought kelim from a nochri that required tefillah's kelim, and I have a nochri being matba lekelim in the mikveh, and I'm watching. The nochri doesn't have the manas to tell me that it was tevel lekelim, but I'm watching. Let's say you have a Jewish caterer, and he has a nochri assistance helping him, and he tells me he just bought 1,000 pots and pans, and he tells the nochri to be tevel everything in the mikveh. So the nochri is dipping it into the mikveh, He's any b'tarvus. He can't think lishma over here. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that there's no problem. The Nochi doesn't have namanis. That's in Kuf Chav Sif Tezvav. The Nochi doesn't have namanis to say that he did the Tfilas Kelim. But if I'm watching the way he does it, that's not a problem. So to say the reason why is because of this Gemara that the Chulin ain't Tzvichin Kavana. If the din would have been that you need Kavana for the Tfila, then the Nochi is not a Bar Hochi to have Kavana. So the Shaila, what do you mean? Chulin ain't Tzvichin Kavana. That's if it's Tomei and you want to remove the Tumah. Let's say a non-Jew wants to convert and he falls into the river. He's wearing a loose clothing. He happened to fall into the river accidentally and he submerged under the water. And he told us in advance that he wanted to be Megayer. And there happened to be three people watching. So that's good. The Pashtus is no good. When you have a Nochri, it has to be Tevel, and the Mikveh has to be Tevel the Shem Geiris. So if you hold that the Tfilas Kelim is really an act of Geiris, so this Sif is problematic. This Sif is what the Shach writes in Sifkot and Chav Ches. But the reason why it's good is because it is Gemara Daf Lamed Aleph that neither should Tovel B'loi Kavana, also La Tvila. The Tvila L'chulin does need Kavana. Tvila L'kotchim, Tvila L'truma needs Kavana Midirabonim. But Tvila L'chulin does need Kavana. So that's the question, does need Kavana? That's to be Mata L'bailo, to be Matayer, but what about to be Megayer a person? That's also good enough. That's problematic. So that's a problem. Okay. Maybe tomorrow, what should we do? Maybe tomorrow we'll finish off the Gemara. There isn't that much more. We have to determine when do you need Liban, when do you need Hagala. And then maybe we'll start the Gemara on about Bishalach. There we go. Test something there.